Well, they just went to the Division III Final Four in college basketball, and that really impressed me. And I was like, knowing that, all right, I might not be good enough right now to go there and play, but you know, just need a chance to get there and work my butt off and see if I can work my way up and help the team and contribute. And so, yeah, like you just said, it's to set lofty goals, and that's what I did. I wanted to win at the highest level of Division III where I thought I could play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the season finale, the extended season finale. We've gone 20 episodes strong, and it's time for a quick break. Don't worry, the Lollapalooza Fitness and Strength Training will be back before you know it. I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and as always, welcome to the Uncharted Performance Podcast, where we learn from the best and the brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength training, nutrition, sport, and wellness. All the nuggets, tips, and hidden secrets that we can apply inside and outside the gym to elevate our performance. This week's guest has been a very close friend of mine going back 18 or so years. He was actually my point guard for 2 years back in high school playing ball. He's arguably one of the toughest individuals I know, both mentally and physically, and has continued to teach me lessons on grit and perseverance way after we kind of parted ways after high school, went our separate directions and pursued our own careers, something that he probably didn't know until now, and a major reason I wanted to bring him on the podcast and share his experience with everyone. He is my good friend, Jeff Claypax. He was recently brought on as a member of the staff as an assistant coach at Bethune-Cookman. I always struggle with that one. But he has been on the sidelines for over 10 years now, serving in a variety of capacities for a number of basketball programs, both men's and women's, Division III to Division I. His determination to pursue his passion in the face of some interesting odds and circumstances and externalities beyond his control makes me proud and honored to call him a friend. He's one of the most kind-hearted souls you will meet, and the type of person that will bring a smile to your face, if not moments, even maybe instantaneously after meeting him. I hope you guys enjoy the show. And as always, if you have a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes. In the month of July and August, one lucky member of the UP Nation will win a pair of brand new training shoes. It's your choice, Noble, Reebok, Nano, or Nike Metcons. It means a ton to us, and helps to give our guests like Jeff gain more exposure. And last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter, whenever and wherever, to let us know when you are catching the show. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to present to you Jeff Claypax and the season finale of Uncharted Performance. Take care, guys. All right, so we're recording. Everything you say from now on is on the record.
Sounds good.
All right. It's a first for Uncharted Performance. We have not done a Skype interview before. I am joined by a good friend of mine, Jeff Claypax, who's the current assistant men's basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman. Did I pronounce that college name correctly, man?
That is correct. Bethune-Cookman. Hail Wildcats.
And you just got that position recently, correct?
Yeah, I started here May 1st, so we're talking about 6 weeks on the job.
All right, and we'll get into all that in a second, but we've known each other for 20 years now, I think. A little less than that?
Yeah, just less now. Yeah, 17, 18, yeah, 18 years just about.
Yeah, so it's been a while. How we know each other is we went to the same high school together. And we played basketball together. You were my point guard for a couple of years.
Yeah,
you were a much more talented player than I was.
I don't know about that.
No, for sure. But let me start off with this question, because I played with you and your brother. Your brother's a year older than myself, and you're a year younger than myself.
And so I'm kind of between you guys. And he's also a coach. He's a very successful high school coach, basketball coach. Can you describe your relationship with Keith? Just from a brother perspective, and then maybe get into basketball.
Man, Keith, Keith's been my best friend my entire life. And going back to that time around, you know, growing up and in high school basketball, he was always the better player. He played competitively in the spring and summer and year round, really, with AAU, going back to like fourth, fifth, sixth grade. So he kind of played at a higher level growing up, and he was a really good player, good high school player, had a really good career, and then went to play Division III college basketball. Yeah, but that relationship, I don't know, I was always kind of looked up to him, good player, better than I was, a winner and a competitor. So he always set the bar, you know, pretty highly for me growing up on the court, off the court. And yeah, it's just been my best friend. You know, we used to fight and compete all the time, like growing up, grade school and into high school. And then once he went away to college, we really didn't, you know, argue and fight a whole lot more once we were finally separated, because literally we shared a bedroom and bunk beds the majority of our life until I was about 16 and he went to college. So yeah, and then, you know, you talk, you were 1 year between us, you were, got the clay pack sandwich. Powell, along with a couple other guys from your grade, you know, Keith and I were pretty close with, kind of both overlapping, and that, you know, certainly was on the court and off the court. But yeah, it was pretty cool how, you know, you were a junior when Keith was a senior point guard and the leader of the team. And then, you know, I was the junior point guard the next year when you were one of the senior leaders that year, which was a great year on and off the court. But yeah, it's pretty neat, man, to say, like, we're still connected and still have a friendship going for this long, even all these years after high school, man. It's pretty awesome.
No, for sure. And thank you for doing this interview. You're kind of our guinea pig, being our first Skype interview. So we'll see how this goes. but going back to Keith, because both of you, you're very, very good high school players. You both played in college and you both pursued a coaching career in a sense. What have you learned from Keith, both from a player and coach perspective?
Player, I kind of touched on it. You know, his competitiveness, his fire. Just a tough little scrappy player that was probably an overachiever on the court with the things he was able to do. And, you know, as a player, that kind of, you know, he kind of showed me the way that as a small, undersized, you know, little white guy is trying to play basketball at the high school level in such a good area like Cleveland, and then at the college level, you know, you got to be scrappy, you got to be tough and competitive, and then you got to work on your game and improve your skill. And Keith did that all you know, all growing up. Like I said, he kind of got out of his other sports, secondary sports, you know, into high school after his freshman year, I think it was, and you know, just worked on his game year round, and that certainly is how you get better. And then as a coach, it's been cool to see him be a head coach the last 4 years now. It was awesome that he was an assistant and helped out on staff at Hawken, where we went to high school for, it was like 7 or 8 years. I think sometimes, you know, he was more involved and had a bigger role in other years. You know, he was just around when he could be helping out the staff. So that was pretty cool. And then, you know, the last 4 years, to have his own program and to see where the program was at. And then the years they've had the last couple of years, he's definitely a good coach. He knows his stuff, and I think he does a good job connecting with players. So I think, you know, young guys in high school really like playing for him.
Who's a better coach in your opinion, you or Keith?
I think we're both good coaches in our own right.
That's a very political answer. all right, so enough about Keith. But what have you taught him? What do you think you've taught him? What do you think he's taken away from you?
I don't know. I'm kind of going in chronological order, just maybe growing up and competing, you know, me pushing him because, you know, he'd beat me all the time in just about everything except baseball. And, you know, that made me mad. It pissed me off. And that kind of instilled a competitive fire in me. But, you know, I would never give up. I'd get back up. He'd beat me up. He'd shove me down. I'd get back up every time. And, I just remember, like, I think that helped build the competitor in me. You know, once you lose so much, you just can't stand it anymore. So I don't take losing very well, and that's on the court and off the court. But you know, having an older brother, sister that pick on you and you know, beat you in just about everything. So that you know, I don't know. So that competitive fire he kind of helped me with. I think I probably brought back at him and just kind of relentless and never giving up in terms of our rivalry as young brothers and playing ball. And then I don't know. Maybe later in life, just I think we've had more appreciation for each other since I've moved away for 10 years now. You know, he's married a little over a year now as well, and he's got that great relationship in his life is, you know, going on now. So I just, you know, fewer time together like it was growing up and sharing the same bedroom for 16 years, bunk beds. But, you know, you get more appreciation for the time you do get together and kind of just our whole story and brotherhood since day one going, you know, over 30 years ago.
That's awesome, man. And before we get too far into the discussion conversation, as a point of reference, can you let the listeners know how tall you are?
I say I'm 5'8", 5'8", in basketball shoes.
All right, yes. Yeah. I was going to say 5'7", but...
yeah, that's accurate. That's, in shoes, I'm 5'8". Yeah,
so you know, rather short for even for basketball standards for a point guard. So just as we go, just so people have that in the back of their mind as we're kind of having this conversation. And you mentioned scrappy a couple times and competitive. And, you know, playing with you, it was a luxury because of the way you played. I think we had a similar style, actually, when we played. I tend to get angry rather quickly. I think you might have as well.
tempers,
yeah, tempers could flare quickly and easily. But if I had one word to describe you, and you can't take this, but besides being scrappy and fearless, how would you describe your playing style?
My playing style, you know, that you try to play the right way. I mean, play hard, just try to play hard. Yeah. I got, you know, at a physical disadvantage and not, you know, I wouldn't out jump or out athlete many people either. So I had to play harder. I had to play smarter. I had to play tougher, in order to compete at the highest level, you know, I can compete at, you know, mental game and toughness. Like you said, I think, yeah, I used to, especially when I was younger, lose my temper a little bit. Emotions would get out of check. And I think as I got older and was an upperclassman, especially getting to senior year, that, you know, matured in that regard and became a little mentally tougher and a better leader, as I grew up. But, yeah, I don't know. Just plays hard, man. Works hard out there, plays hard.
When did college ball, did you think when you were a senior or even junior, did you think you were good enough to play in college?
I would say, yeah, I think by the time I was a senior, I thought I had a chance.
Okay.
You know, I was really a little bit better baseball player. Mm-hmm. And like when I was a sophomore and junior, I thought, you know, I was really going to make an effort to pursue college baseball. And then, honestly, just the connection with my teammates and the coaches at Hawken those couple years, man, it really just like the love for the game that I had. You know, I took a little break sophomore year, a couple months. I stepped away from basketball at the beginning of the season. I was going to wrestle that year. So, I don't know, even stepping away for a little bit, I just thought that kind of rekindled my passion and love for the game and got me, you know, wanting to coach, you know, in as a career in the future. But it's really like, I don't know, my teammates, those 2 years we had, we went 31-13 in 2 years and won the conference both years. And just kind of a brotherhood, man, and love for the game. And I just, yeah, my heart was in it and decided to go with it.
So describe the, I guess, the recruiting process or just the process of getting into college on a college basketball team. Because everybody plays high school ball, right? And then once it starts to narrow down significantly as you get into college, whatever level you're playing at, right?
Yeah, it's not easy to be a college basketball player. You know, you got to think, you know, it's a small percentage out of, you know, age 18 to 23 year old, you know, men and women that if you're a college basketball player, you're in a select few. And that's, you know, you're talking thousands of college basketball players from Division One, Two, Three, NAIA, Junior College, you know, you name it, all divisions, you know, across the country. There's so many, but it's hard. You know, you gotta produce, you gotta win, you have to, you know, work, you have to get seen, things like that. There's so much that goes into it. I wasn't really recruited. You know, I knew I wanted to go to a small college, Division III school, and wanted to try to play wherever I went. And I chose College of Worcester, which is one of the best Division III programs in the country. And Coach Moore, who's had a major impact on my life, you know, on and off the court and in terms of coaching at this level, has had a big influence. But he told me when I visited that if I was going to Worcester really mostly for basketball, then it probably wasn't the best decision for me, is what he told me. And I mean, that's you know, he's genuine and he's honest, and he was right. You know, he basically allowed me in the program. He was surprised when I was there that first week in the gym, but gave me a chance to be a part of the program, and I practiced every day. Never really played varsity. I played one game. There's a JV program as well, so I was practicing 2 years, and my second 2 years then I was a student coach. I still practice sometimes, but I knew I wanted to get into coaching, so I started helping the staff. But nowadays, I mean, the recruiting process can start as early as eighth grade, ninth grade for a lot of kids. But yeah, you know, hopefully you're playing at the varsity level, you know, as a freshman or sophomore, and producing and contributing, and then get seen, you know, those couple of years, and trying to play travel ball in AAU. That's a big part of getting exposure at the high school level right now. And then, you know, there's the junior college route as well, where maybe you don't start at a 4-year school, but, you know, you go to a junior college for 2 years, and that's a great way to gain exposure and kind of continue to get recruited. Maybe if your recruitment coming out of high school as a junior and senior wasn't where you wanted it to be, junior college is a really good level of basketball that guys get great opportunities. There's a couple guys in the NBA playoffs over the last 2 months that you know, were great junior college players and got an opportunity to go to a high level and you know, achieve their dreams. So many different avenues and channels of recruiting now, but it you know, it can start from as early as 12, 13 years old in the junior high.
You mentioned a couple of times that you were pretty good in baseball. Why didn't you pursue that path instead of basketball?
You know, I don't know. When I was pretty good. I got to play some varsity as a freshman and sophomore. I was, you know, playing all the time. So I got a taste of you know, the varsity level as a you know, ninth and 10th grader. And I knew I could be, you know, pretty good from where I was at and kind of the path I was on. You know, I knew there was a guy at Hawken before me that, you know, got a scholarship to go play college baseball at Ohio University. And, you know, I was just like, man, I kind of want to do what that guy did. And I remember talking to Coach Clark, the baseball coach, and just being like, what did that guy do, you know, in the offseason and over a couple years to make himself that good, you know, to play at the next level? And, you know, he told me some things about what I need to do on a daily basis and, you know, the work ethic and improving your game and skill and all that. But, you know, I really made a commitment those couple years in baseball. And, you know, that was kind of what I was, you know, driving to do. And then again, you know, with Keith playing basketball, being a senior when I was a sophomore, you know, just, again, the guys from you and a couple of the guys in your class to, I think that next year, my senior year, I think we had eight or nine seniors, and you know, those guys are still some of my best friends. I just saw them last weekend. It's pretty awesome. So they're just had something to do with that, man. The connection, the brotherhood of basketball that just kind of, man, just wanted me to drove me to just keep on going with it and trying to play at the next level.
But even in both, even in baseball, when you were playing it, you did dedicate yourself, and you actually set pretty lofty expectations and goals for yourself. You know, talking to Coach, how do I get to college? And pursuing College of Worcester, which actually I want to know why you picked. Oh, sorry, did I blow that up?
No, you're good.
Just to fly.
Yeah.
Why did you pick the College of Worcester?
Well, they just went to the Division III Final Four in college basketball, and that really impressed me. And I was like, knowing that, all right, I might not be good enough right now to go there and play, but you know, just need a chance to get there and work my butt off and see if I can work my way up and help the team and contribute. And so, yeah, like you just said, it's to set lofty goals, and that's what I did. I wanted to win at the highest level of Division III where I thought I could play. And that's kind of why I chose it. I only visited, I applied to 4 or 5 schools, was it. Again, following in my older sister and brother's footsteps, both academically and athletically, going to Division III schools. My sister went to Denison, so I went to that campus and applied there. Keith went to Allegheny. I'd been there a few times as well. Went and visited Wittenberg. And Worcester just was an awesome fit. Loved the campus, walking around for the day. Just a big-time college basketball program, and I wanted to be a part of that, whether I could play or not, and it ended up being the best decision of my life in the best 4 years, and learning and getting mentored by Coach Steve Moore at Worcester is really blessed and fortunate. He's one of the best in the country. He's something else, and again, he told me, you know, it might not be your best interest to come here if it's for basketball, and I think even him, you know, kind of telling me no, just kind of stirs your inner competitiveness. Like, all right, you know, I'm going to prove them wrong. And that was part of it too. And it was kind of, you know, I left there kind of felt challenged. And that summer, I remember going back and working pretty hard to get ready for that fall. And again, you know, only scored a couple baskets in one varsity game, but was at practice every day and in the weight room. And then my last 2 years, you know, I was in the huddle and with the coaches and learning things right at the halftime huddle and in-game adjustments. And it was awesome. My senior year as a student coach, we went to the Division III Final Four again, you know, with my best friends from college. That was a pretty special year and a great 4 years overall. So, yeah, the people, it was a beautiful campus. I still love it. I was just there a few days ago. But Coach Moore and the people and the program, being such a high-level basketball program, wanted to be a part of that.
So what are some examples, if you remember, of the stuff that you did when you got on campus at Worcester? Because you mentioned working hard a few times. What are some of the specific things that you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, academically first, like very, very good school, rigorous academics. So that was a challenge. And obviously you're going there to get your degree in an education. So first and foremost, had to work hard in the classroom in order to be successful and come out of there, you know, the right way, which I did. But so, you know, obviously academically there, it takes up a lot of time. In terms of basketball, I remember having open gyms the very first week. Had a lot of freshmen that year. So, you know, 2 courts going at a time. That was always fun. We'd play almost every night at the beginning. And then just within the first couple weeks, then starting to get in the weight room. At that time, for a couple years, they had like a lunchtime agility and plyometrics thing between classes. It was like open to all student athletes. So unless you had a class conflict, you're doing agility and plyometrics, which was really good. It was kind of a supplemental type thing that benefited really any program. So that was pretty good. A little conditioning, plyos, agility during the day. We'd lift 3 to 4 times a week and then, you know, play open gym quite a bit. Then practices start in October. And then you're rocking and rolling pretty much 6 days a week. But again, like for me to make that jump again, undersized, like to go to a top 10 program in Division III, was just more than I could handle. So I'd go in there and compete. Sometimes I'd make some plays. Other times I'd struggle a little bit. But, you know, I think I got some, you know, guys' respect because I played hard. I competed, tried to play the right way, even though, you know, I was probably one of the worst guys in the gym at that point.
Listen, scoring a few buckets at the varsity level in college is a lot more than people can say. A lot of people can say, so I think you did pretty well, man.
Appreciate it. Good way to look at it.
Exactly. I think you mentioned that you became the student coach.
Uh-huh.
Your second year at Worcester?
Yep.
So take me through, I guess, the transition process of going from player to coach, and if the player aspect wasn't working out, why you chose to be on the team to be a student coach?
Yeah, great question. And that was probably one of the harder decisions of my life, especially at that point. I was 19. We just finished our sophomore year. Only played varsity one game. You know, still played a lot of JV that year, and all that stuff. And you know, it was just kind of like, you know, just knew I wanted to get into coaching. And they kind of had a program there where they would usually have like one, you know, student coach, you know, student assistant, student manager type thing. You know, they call it a student assistant and student coach there because, you know, the staff is small and, you know, you really get a lot of experience. You get to do a lot. So, that was great. So yeah, it was, they had a senior that was just finishing up. He had been a student assistant, for I think 3 years and kind of saw, you know, open opportunity there, to transition and start helping out the staff. And Coach Moore always recommended it to me in the summer. Actually, that was the first summer. To go work camps, to travel around. And I remember he wrote down about 5 or 6 names of guys he knew and former Worcester players and some Division I contacts. And he helped me get in my foot in the door at some summer camps. And that's really what I did for 3 straight summers. I just June and July went to as many camps as I could. And Worcester has a bunch of camps. I'd always worked those. But Akron basketball camps with Keith Dambrot, worked a couple of those, Cleveland Cavs camps. Then I went down to the University of Florida and to LSU. And actually it was right after they both went to the Final Four. So it was pretty sweet. There's, you know, 500-600 kids at these camps and like these teams got guys going to the NBA and, you know, coming off Final Four runs. Like it was pretty cool just to go down there. I was, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, be around a couple of their players and some coaches you see, you know, on TV in the NCAA tournament. That was a big deal. So it was pretty cool, but really what I benefited was meeting other young people like myself, student managers and assistants and young video guys and graduate assistants that go and work camps all summer to try to network. You make a few bucks and, you know, you start coaching the game at a young level. And it's, you know, it's fun. It's laid back in the summertime. And it's kind of my summer job for 3 years and got to meet some people and network. And that's kind of how I made the transition. So, you know, I still played all the time, pickup. I wasn't training like I was my first 2 years, like quite as much in the weight room and actually conditioning. But I still played all the time, was in the gym at camps all the time. And I'd still jump in practice a lot at Worcester, actually, just to help out and drills and make numbers and stuff. So didn't really hang my sneaks up completely. I still play every once in a while now. But it was a good transition, man. I got to jump, you know, just meet some people and networking, get some experience in camps, you know, 2 years before I was out of college. So that was great. And then, you know, helping the coaching staff every day in practice, got to help with some individual drills before practice. I got to work with Coach Klein and the big guys. That was great for me my first 2 years. They have such good post players in that program. Coach Klein's been the associate head coach. He's been there like 15 years also and played there. So family atmosphere there. But Coach Klein does an awesome job with post players. So for me to go down there with the post players every day and skill development and things like that really helped me, being a short point guard my whole career, start to learn the footwork, fundamentals and technique of post play. And actually, for the last 10 years, I've probably worked with post players about 7 years, which is kind of funny being, yeah, you know, being my size.
A little bit ironic, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that was a great experience. Got to work with him and then, you know, kept track of some possessions and important things that Coach Moore actually used, in games. So I felt like, you know, I played a role and brought a little bit of value to the coaching staff, even as a junior and senior. And then I just remember the halftime adjustments and huddles and when he would take his notes and just learning so much from that. And I would rarely speak up, but every once in a while I would point out either a short run because I kept track of possessions or, you know, something here or there. But, you know, to even have a voice at that age with you know, a guy like Coach Moore and that staff and program was just awesome experience for me. And that was really my foundation for the college level. I wanted to be a high school teacher and high school coach in the Cleveland area. That was really what I wanted to do. It was kind of, you know, a dream of mine, really, in some regard. And then once I got exposed to Worcester and Coach Moore and the college game and 2 20-minute halves, it was man, I was just, yeah, I loved it. Fell in love. And, yeah, just I knew since then, and because of Coach and the contacts, and experience with him that he helped me with, you know, I was able to get my foot in the door and, you know, I've had a decent career here in the first 10 years. Hopefully it keeps moving forward and, you know, growing and getting better as, you know, as a coach and a person.
So let's get into that career a little bit, because if it was maybe somebody else that, you know, their dream or passion of playing college basketball didn't work out, they might not have necessarily pursued an option B or a different passion of theirs, right?
Yeah.
And you've been at this for a while now, and you started relatively young, you know, it's your second year at Worcester. What was your first gig out of college?
All right, first job out of college. I was really fortunate, catch a break and get my foot in the door as a director of basketball operations at Louisiana State University, LSU. I mentioned I worked a couple summers at camps down there, but that's not really why I got the job or how. I networked and I met some people, and the assistant coach that kind of got me in the door to work camp gave me a call out of nowhere right after it was June, right after I graduated. I was set to go to Miami of Ohio and be a graduate assistant and get my master's and help their program out. And I got a call from Coach Treloar at LSU, and he kind of asked what I had going on, what was I doing. I applied to graduate school down there, but they didn't really have a GA position. And so I kept in touch with them a little bit my senior year. Calls me in June. I'm ready to go to graduate school, and he said their, you know, director of operations just left, and you know, would I be interested? And he knew I had no experience. You know, was kind of taking a chance on a young guy, but he was confident in himself and the staff to teach me and train me, and he did. He was very detail oriented, and it was a lot for me to learn, but it was also an awesome experience. Because he's a really great coach, very, very diligent. But he taught me and he trained me, and you know, he helped me become organized and detailed right out of college. It was a big jump for me when a few months before I was, you know, still in college having the time of my life, and then 6 months later I'm trying to help keep organized a SEC basketball program at a high level. So I was learning on the fly, but you know, he did an awesome job of training me and helping me learn and challenging me. And yeah, he offered me the job basically.
Do
And
you know why he called you?
yeah, so I mentioned like a pay it forward type thing. So like a second cousin of mine, they had worked together at the University of Indiana, and I think that he had given him an opportunity somewhere along the way when Coach Treloar was an assistant at Indiana. And yeah, they just had a good connection, good relationship, and I think he offered him an opportunity in his past that, you know, he just kind of paid it forward to me, not knowing if I was going to be a good worker or, you know, much like that. We'd only spent a little bit of time together. So, you know, I always kind of remember that when people ask how I got there and got my foot in the door, you know, try to keep that in mind that I caught a break right away, and usually it doesn't happen that way. And, you know, there's been a lot of adversity in my 10 seasons and ups and downs, you know, like anything. But for me to start off in that position, you know, I always have to remember that, you know, to pay it forward and help other young guys get an opportunity. And I've always tried to do that with like our student managers and graduate assistants and things like that. So yeah, try to help others and pay it forward and give them an opportunity as well, just like I was given a long time ago and many times now along the way.
And that's a very good point, man, because you never know what relationship or what person that you meet. It might be your cousin, it might be a stranger on the street that might be lead to that next big break. But you actually had a great segue there. So you've been coaching for 10 years now, right?
Yeah, 10 years full time since after Worcester. So
Yeah.
2 years as a student, but 10 years full time going into season 11.
And you've been on how many different programs?
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think this is six,
This is
going
six.
into year 11. Yeah, I've lived in five states in 5 years now that I'm in Florida.
Okay, so my joke of the day is, are you afraid of commitment? But we
not at
know,
all, man.
not yet. We
Not at
know.
all.
So as the people that might be listening don't know, obviously some of those moves were out of your control, and I guess a
Yeah.
unfortunate end of some firings and whatnot, like being on staff and some other things. But with you being on so many different staffs, I mean, the challenges of moving and adapting are, I guess, pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess like I was at, you know, after LSU 1 year, you mentioned coach got let go. Like I was 22, just moved across the country. That was I mean, that was an eye-opening experience being at the Division I level, and the guy just went to the Final Four 2 years ago, gets fired, but then moved to Arkansas State, where I'm there for 6 years, and that's kind of a long time to be coaching somewhere at the college level. So it's a good 6 years, great experience, met a lot of great people there. And then I've been moving every year since this was would have been June of 2014. So we're only talking 3 years ago. I left Arkansas after 6 years. And you mentioned it, the transitioning and the people. It's a good thing I get along with just about almost everybody.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think I've gained some patience over the years. And I don't know. I like people. As I've gotten older, I try to be a good person, try to be nice, try to be kind. I wasn't that way growing up. Tried to be a cool kid sometimes when I was really little. And then after a while, it's like, that's really not what it's all about. So just try to be a good person and help other people, care about other people. You meet some awesome people along the way, make some great friends, and, kind of a relationship guy, I like people. And, so that's been honestly the best part about all these moves. You look back and you say, oh, did I make the right decision here? Did I make the right move here taking this job? And every time I can say yes, because of, the group of people that I got to meet that I worked with every day. Cause when you're coaching college basketball, I mean, for 9 months of the year, 10 months, like you got your whole team on campus and you're with the same people every day for hours. And then when you add in, the actual, game season of 5 months and traveling on the road and, you're on planes together and hotel rooms and bus rides and, you're around these people, like they become family even in just a short year. And, that's what's been, the best part is meeting so many good people, but it is a transition. Like every coach, we're talking about the similar things, but everyone's using like different terminology. So every time, you got a new staff and you go somewhere new, we have a little X's and O's retreat coming up in a couple of days here that, we're going to talk about our terminology so that the whole staff is using the same messages and we're referring to the same actions on the court, with the same, phrases and terminology. So that's, that's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's kind of cool now that I'm 10 years in and I'm just coming off a few years of working with some really great coaches. People are asking my insight and I think I have some value to bring, not because what I do and can do, but more so my experience and the people I've learned from. I got to give credit to all of them. Like, worked for some big time coaches, and it's been pretty cool to take so many pieces from each of them and kind of start to mold, again, a decade of experience at this level. I got a lot of stories, and I've learned a lot of great stuff from some great coaches, and it's been awesome to learn under them and now, bring it to different programs and share my insight and really just try to, as an assistant coach, you want to try to make life as easy as possible for the head coach and take as much off their plate and as many distractions away and, put out fires and just, handle as much as you can to make their job and their life easier, because it's not easy being a head coach at the college level. And, as an assistant, you try to make his job as best, as easy as it can be. And then, make the program and the campus and the community a better place, just have a positive impact.
Why have you stuck with it? Because like you mentioned, you were at LSU and Arkansas State for 6 years, but the last few years have not been so consistent, right?
Yeah. There's been some wearing times, like moving, every spring you think you're going in the right direction and things can happen in this business and you got to move around for new jobs. Like, it's just part of it. Part of me is fortunate to not be married with a family yet, because 6 moves in 10 years, that can tear a family apart. And I wouldn't have been able to move that much, making a decision if I had, family, wife and kids at this point. Hopefully in the future, now that I'm getting, I'll be 32 in 10 days. I got a few years. No panic yet.
But just if there are any ladies out there, Coach Clay, thanks for the signal.
I am. Because of that, I've had the flexibility to move year to year and for new opportunities. And, after a while, I'm going to look back and just, it's going to be pretty cool to look at all the places I've gone and people I've met. But there's also been times where I've really wanted to move back home to Cleveland and be around my family. Gone 10 years and don't get to see them very often, but a few times a year, and that's hard every time. You know, everybody knows how much I love the city of Cleveland and my sports teams, and I wear my pride for Cleveland, you know, on my sleeve everywhere I go, whether it's Northeast Arkansas or upstate New York or here in Daytona Beach, Florida. Everybody knows, you know, that I'm a diehard Cleveland fan. So there's been a lot of times I was pretty close a few months ago before I got this opportunity at Bethune-Cookman with, you know, the head coach is one of my best friends from college. We played together for 2 years, and, you know, I thought I was about to move to Cleveland and was pursuing a couple of high school jobs in the area and was looking to finally get back home and place I love and where my family and friends are. And I kind of told a couple of people that really, this is the only opportunity that would probably going to keep me away from Cleveland, you know, after 10 years. And it happened. You know, I've stayed really close with Ryan Ritters, the head coach here. You know, I've known him since I was 18 years old at Worcester. He was there 2 years, and we stayed connected coaching and see each other a couple times a year. And we weren't even really talking about it when he first got the job. And as things played out and he was taking his time evaluating the staff, and we got to talk a little bit more about it. Just kind of all worked out. We didn't really think it was going to happen. And, you know, at that point I was like, all right, I really want to be in Cleveland, and was ready to kind of make a change. Cause again, it's a grind, and I've been away from family for a long time and moving all over the country. And, you know, your priorities change. So family is certainly important to me. And that's what I thought was going to happen. But, to come down here with one of my best friends, we first started talking about coaching together, you know, going back over 10 years. I'd come down in the summertime and work his dad's camps, who's been a coach here for 25 years, won an NAIA national championship, and I think it was in 2000. His dad's a legendary coach as well. So just that coaching family, but to be down here around his family, and I've been coming down here and visiting a long time and working his dad's camps. And we worked the Florida Gators camps when we were college students, to reconnect, you know, a decade later, and to have talked about it that long ago too was pretty special connection. So he's 32. He's the third youngest Division I head coach in the country. Our entire staff is one of the youngest coaching staffs in Division I college basketball, which is really exciting. And it's just really fun to go to work with him every day. And I was like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and can always move back home. And I'm going to go down here and try to help one of my best friends build something special. And at the same time, he's given me a great opportunity to come down here. It's, you know, his first Division I staff that he hired. And he tried to separate the friendship thing, and he did a great job of it. And you know, he did his research and made some calls on me professionally, knowing my experience. And we talk once a week about our teams and stuff anyway. But he really, you know, wanted to evaluate how I can, you know, be an asset and bring value to his staff and help him build something special here. So it's kind of cool. Like that first time we crossed over from like the tight friends to like, okay, this is a serious like business conversation. Like, you know, we could possibly be coaching together like we've talked about for so long. So that was a little funny at first. But like it's the first 6 weeks have been awesome. And it's just a lot of fun going to work every day. You know, trying to help build a team and a program with one of your best friends. It's pretty cool.
Congrats, man. It's sounds like a pretty ideal position to be in after the last few years, right? So let's reflect a little bit, right? Let's reflect back on the past 10 years. How maybe pick one or two things that you see yourself that you've changed as a coach for the better, I'm assuming. How have you gotten better, right? Like, how have you gotten better as a coach?
Man, that's
how have you grown as a coach in the past 10 years?
That's a great question. I think just continuing to learn is important. And I think that's helped me get better, you know, not in, you know, one season. Hopefully you get better every year, every day, every week, every year. But just over time and continuing to learn. And again, working with other coaches and people, like I'm learning new philosophies and how these people did it here. And back in the day, they worked for this guy that's, you know, high level, big time. I'm just learning so many different things from so many different people along the way has helped me, I think, get better. You know, and I guess some maturity as well. I think, you know, as a younger coach, you get so frustrated with some of the little stuff that, you know, just young guys do on a daily basis. He, you know, have a more understanding, a little more patience with certain guys, just knowing that they're not going to be perfect. And a lot of these student athletes, you know, don't always come from structured backgrounds and environments, and they're going to make mistakes and screw up. And I think I've gotten a little more patient with that, helping guys along better. You know, you always, that's really why you're in it, to teach and mentor and lead young people. And so you want to help them out in life and on the court and off the court. So I think I've gotten better with that from a professional standpoint. Again, continuing to learn, but just, you know, some of the organization stuff, follow up, you know, those types of things, because I've, again, worked for multiple people now and have seen how different people and different coaching trees run their operation different, and just so many moving parts and different arms of a Division I college basketball program. And, you know, I've had experience in all aspects. So I think I've really grown just, again, being versatile in what I can do on staff in terms of coaching on the floor, recruiting, individual workouts and skill development. But, you know, even going into done the team travel and budgets and all academic stuff and compliance, just so many different hats. That's really helped me, you know, be able to help run a program. And I think it's helped me prepare, you know, to one day in the future be a head coach. That's what, you know, I'm working towards. And I think just being able to contribute in all areas, you know, of running a college basketball program, I think the last few years, that experience has really helped me grow and become a better coach.
I think you beat me to it, because I was going to ask about the head coaching gig. So we got that question out of the way. but to kind of start wrapping it up, man, if somebody, you know, took the time to listen to this, to our conversation for the past, you know, 50 minutes or so, mm-hmm. if they were to take away one thing, and it doesn't have to be, I don't want it to be actually basketball related, right?
Okay.
Something more, I guess, in general.
Yep.
What would that one thing you want them to take away be?
From our conversation, or more like the journey and the profession?
Anything, man. You pick the one thing.
I'll just say, like, as we've talked about our history and the journey, you know, and kind of how I've gotten here and you know, even how we've gotten here and going back to our time. Like, I mean, one, you know, you got to find something, do something you love. Which it's easier when you're young and get to play games all the time. You know, but I stuck with that. So even the bad days and the hard days at work, which doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have some. They're not quite as bad and they're not quite as hard if you are doing something you're passionate about. I think that's really, really important, doing something you love. But being able to succeed and you know, survive and have a nice, you know, be able to support yourself as well, but be passionate about something and you know, chase that passion, live that passion, and then, you know, just the other couple things. And this is, you know, as a competitor and as a professional, you know, just work hard every day. And as a student, you got to work hard every day, no matter what you're doing. Show up early, work your butt off, stay late, work hard every day, and then over time you're going to have success. And I always tie into working hard pieces, treat people well, whether you're a people person or not, you know, be kind, be respectful. People give that back to you, but, you know, yeah, care about other people, try to help other people. And you know, whether you're quiet and you're an introvert, maybe that's just a small handful of people you help and have good relationships with, or if you're a people person and love everybody, you know, maybe you impact, more lives. But yeah, just treat people well. And like we talked about, man, like relationships, it goes back. Met some great people the last couple of years we've become close with. And then, you know, we got us having this great conversation, you know, going back a friendship and teammates, you know, 18 years, 20 years now, which is pretty awesome.
Brother, thank you much for being a guinea pig, for being our first ever, man.
Yeah. I'm glad we finally got this, man. I know we tried to schedule a couple times while I'm in and out of town back home, so I'm glad to be the first Skype, man. Appreciate you having me.
As we just talked about, you're a pretty busy guy. You're all over the place. If people want to catch a Bethune-Cookman game,
yeah,
where can they find information on and watch you coach?
They can find information and our schedule on our website, bcuwildcats.com. bcuwildcats.com. We're in the MEAC conference. We got a good schedule. It'll be out soon. Play in some good cities. So hopefully, can see some friends and folks along the way this season.
Nice. And BC, as you mentioned, in Daytona Beach, right?
Yeah, right in Daytona Beach, Florida.
All right. So if anybody's ever going down to Florida in the wintertime, especially those from Cleveland.
Yep.
A lot of people head south. You can always catch a game then.
Can catch a game, and I got a spare bedroom with a nice air mattress, so I got a free place to stay.
Perfect. Coach, brother, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Paul, man. Great talking with you, brother.
Take it easy, man.
All right, see you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another great episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a second and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Each month we will select a winner to win a special prize. This month we are giving away a pair of brand spanking shiny new training shoes. Your choice of Nike Metcons, Reebok Nanos, or Nobles. So make sure to rate and review. Let us know when and where you are listening by tagging us on Uncharted Performance on Instagram or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code UNCHARTED for 10% off on strength.com on all their supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the Uncharted.